Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Blood and Guts with my excellent friend and co-host, Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack. Feels like forever since we talked.
Yeah, good morning and good afternoon, good evening, depending on when people are listening to this. It could be Tuesday or Wednesday, but it's great to be here with you as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. You know, I just got some stats in, and I was surprised to see that 25% of my audience is outside the country. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's good.
I know. So what's going on? How about the world? Do you think it's going crazy or what?
We were once really big in Canada, so.
I remember. Maybe we should go back to Canada.
Maybe we should go to Mexico or Canada before it's too late. That's where all the jobs are going, as Donald Trump constantly reminds us, though, of course, building a wall will just keep us in. Yeah, the world's gone completely crazy. You know, yesterday here in Seattle, I noticed people were really angry. Even at 1 a.m, there were police and several different arguments under my window, which is actually a pretty rare thing, even though I live downtown in Seattle. You know, and I began to wonder, because I went to the mall the other day, first time I've done that in a long time, and I started feeling really tired and sick and a little bit depressed, and I think it has something to do with the wireless, Maria, the overload of wireless and the messages that are beamed through our eyeball and every other part of our body constantly, just like a massive digital onslaught. There could be a connection to that. So I didn't notice this with the rest of the world, but certainly Seattle yesterday was kind of on hot alert. So maybe they just pointed the old heart machine at us, or maybe there's something else, or maybe it's just a conflation of a number of things.
Well, were they spraying a lot of chemtrails yesterday?
I wouldn't know. It's been cloudy here for the last couple of days.
We're having unusually warm weather, so it's like 15 degrees warmer than it should be. But I noticed we had 2 days of no spraying. Everybody in town seemed like they were in such a friendly and good mood, and then the spraying begins and everybody gets angry and ugly again. And I have to tell you, Jack, I just finished reading David Icke's book, Phantom Self, and he pulls it all together. You can't miss what's going on. I want to say it's probably the best book he's ever written.
Yeah, Dick Gregory talks about the manganese in the malt liquor and the manganese in the chemtrails. You can look that up and see where he said that, and even where Prince, when he was on Travis Smiley show, repeated that. And, you know, we've used that on our show many times. So manganese, of course, if you live next to a manganese plant where they're processing it for industrial use, the murder rate outside those manganese plants, and I know they have a big one in Australia, is like 100 times what it is anywhere else. So like I say, it could just be a conflation of things, or maybe just bad moods are contagious. I guess we'll just chalk that one up to, if everyone you run into is in a foul mood, it might put you in a bad mood too. But I honestly think there is something to this abuse of wireless everywhere. We're the first generation to deal with this and endure it, and smart meters and everything else that comes with it. And we have to think that there is some kind of intended or unintended consequences somewhere down the road.
Well, I would have to say it's intended, because when I was reading David's book, I read a lot of stuff I did not know. And he talked about something called smart dust and nanotechnology being sprayed on us in these chemtrails as well. So if they're changing us from the inside out to breathe in this crap, and then you're carrying your cell phone and you're passing these cell phone towers and you throw in HAARP and you throw in all the rest, genetically modified food, I think that we're all being programmed to mutate to be the slave race of the controllers. I mean, you know, I've covered, you know, Wi-Fi radiation danger on my show, you know, many times over the years. But now there's no escaping it.
Well, and a lot of people will say that they wouldn't do that. And certainly, in many ways, you know, the elite can hurt themselves. And I've, you know, discussed this quite a bit on my show. In fact, we just put an interview I did with the White House chef back up on our Facebook page. I think you can find it at Radio Free Blood on Facebook, which is about the only place we broadcast and post now, where he was, you know, kind of warning us about how the elites will eat their food and how we eat our food. So this is maybe how the elites protect themselves from this overabundance of poison and digital conformity, if that's it. So, but would they do it? I think if you had a pill you could give every person in the world to make them a better slave, and you could do that, you would do it. We know how these people operate. So Global Corp could produce that or put it in your food or have it in the air you breathe or put it in your coffee or your cigarettes or whatever, beam it through your television set or your computer, and it would benefit them. I think we all know they'd do it.
Right. So when people say, oh, no, they'd never do anything like that, I'm sure you paid attention and read maybe you didn't have time, but read the testimony on Sirhan's parole hearing this week, where one of the guys Sirhan actually did shoot, not only forgave Sirhan, but proved that Sirhan was not anywhere positioned to have fired any of the weapons at Bobby Kennedy. And yet they still refused his parole. And this guy's been rotting in jail for 50 years for something he didn't do. And people still want to believe that, oh, our government would never do anything like that.
Well, and it was rather convenient that he was Palestinian, wasn't it? And we've seen the fallout from that. So, yeah, I actually did look at that a little bit. Who, what, why did a story on that, the full story of the Sirhan parole hearing. And no, he didn't make parole. So don't worry, everybody.
Yeah, don't worry. The real criminals are running the asylum. But, you know, I kind of feel sorry for him because he said the same thing since the get-go. He has no memory of shooting Bobby Kennedy. And, I mean, there were so many bullets fired that day, and yet they're still going to keep that official story going. And I got to tell you, Jack, I never thought that you're probably going to be shocked to hear me say this next sentence, but Donald Trump is certainly coming out with a whole lot of truth attacking his own party. You know, talking about 9/11, talking about the lies to war, weapons of mass destruction. I mean, it's about time. It's taken the Republican Party, what, 14 years to even mention these things?
Well, no, of course, Ron Paul and Rand Paul were saying the exact same thing, but they don't come from the same position of authority and success as Donald Trump did. And let's just be very clear, what Donald Trump has said about the Iraq War, about Bush, and about 9/11 isn't anything the rest of us haven't said. In fact, it's 9/11 and anti-war light. But he's merely defending his statements in the past and being consistent. So when they call upon him and they're going to nail him in front of, and by the way, the entire place booed him when he was saying these things and were applauding Bush. This is what the herd mentality brings us. But instead of running away from it or talking about how he's changed, he doubles down. And that's kind of his style, though let's not get too carried away, because he also wants to bomb a bunch of countries and go kill ISIS. So I think when he comes out and fully acknowledges, you know, where ISIS comes from, where Al-Qaeda came from, and maybe takes it to the next stage of not just maybe he's hinting at a Y-hop and gets more to made it happen on purpose and the cover-up that ensued thereafter, maybe I'll pay a little more close attention. However, it is good to have any kind of discussion like that on a Republican or a Democrat stage would be good.
Oh, exactly. But, you know, I got to tell you, some of the things he says, I look at it, and, you know, when I actually watch him sometimes on TV at the gym, his body language is saying something different than what's coming out of his mouth. It almost seems like he wants to say whatever he has to say, as crazy as it is, just to get people behind him. But I don't really think he means a lot of it. I mean, do you pick that up?
Well, that's politics, isn't it?
Well, that's true.
I don't know if he's any different. And yeah, I don't know. There is a lot of theories about that, isn't there? And certainly his association with Alex Jones has spurred that on a little bit. He's definitely pandering to a group of people who have been very helpful to him. And we saw that, you know, a lot of his numbers in Iowa were former Ron Paul people. And certainly, I think the same could be said about New Hampshire. So instead of, you know, going, this is what Jeb Bush did, is he brought Brother W down to double down on how good the response was after 9/11, keeping us safe. And that's supposed to wow the crowds in South Carolina, which is very pro-military, and they say very pro-Bush. So instead, Trump has gone the opposite way. And he is reaping the whirlwind. He's reaping the benefits from it. And I don't know if he's saying it because he is consciously aware, or he's trying to get truth out as much as he is pandering to a certain demographic.
All right. Well, now he's talking about, of course, breaking his promise and perhaps running on a third party ticket. Do you think he would do that?
Well, at this point, it's still very difficult for me to see either him or Cruz or Kasich, for that matter, receiving the nomination. And it seems to me that Rubio and Bush are the nominates. So it does look like it's going to a brokered convention, and it might be the same for the Democrat. We might have dual brokered conventions, which would unleash Democratic chaos around the country. If you thought the stolen election of 2000, or for that matter 2004, you know, raised the ire of Americans, this could really do it. And there is a benefit from that, an order out of chaos. So up until now, I think Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders have been a lot of steam valve for Americans to release the pressure, and it has been working. It certainly divided people, so there is cost-benefit analysis going there. I don't see him doing that, by the way. So to answer your question, no, I think he's threatening the Republican Party to try to keep them, excuse me, honest. I couldn't say it.
Keep them honest. Oh, I just figured, how desperate is Jeb Bush to bring out his brother, who's still, you know, one of the most hated people in the world? And his mother, too. I mean, even his mother. I mean, I guess that's the Bush family's No Child Left Behind policy.
Well, his name is Bush. He should have done that from the beginning. You know, he's really the stinkiest, worst candidate I've ever seen. And it reeks of somebody who was promised the job before the interviews were complete. I mean, he just doesn't look like he's even trying. So maybe now he's getting a little more serious, since we're getting down to it. These early primaries are much to do about nothing, especially, you know, the fundamentalist Christian corn vote in Iowa, which has picked the wrong guy the last several elections, right?
Right.
Frothy Santorum and the huckster before this. So, you know, picking Cruz certainly, you know, didn't amount to much. But, yeah, I got to be honest with you. If I look at the delegate strategy, if I look at how delegates and parties and the media pick the nominees, then they're right on schedule. So I think that Jeb is getting a little more serious now. They've got to before Super Tuesday, and the big states come up. I mean, they've got Florida. They think they probably have a good chance at Ohio, especially if they can get Kasich on their side, because Kasich and Bush kind of repeat each other. They're playing to the middle, okay? They're playing to the moderates, when we know Bush is nothing of a moderate. He's a massive extremist who signed the Project for New American Century document. And, you know, if you talk to guys like Roger Stone, who I'll be interviewing again for his new book expose on Bush here in like 2 days, they believe they're involved in the Kennedy assassination. So there's a lot of dirt there under the rug, and I think he's going to have a tough time. But once again, I mean, the party chooses. So if the party wants Trump, then Trump will be the nominee.
Well, do you think it'll be Trump versus Hillary?
I definitely think it's Hitler-y, though. Again, she's running into many problems of her own. I think that, you know, my theory is that she was picked to be a loser, and she's gone a little bit rogue. In the same way, I've equated the whole Benghazi mess to her trying to put Romney in 2012, so she would have, by the way, a much better chance of winning now. We have Democrat fatigue, so most likely, and that's why no one was running on the Democrat side, as I've said many times, that's why, you know, Republican is pretty much scheduled to win. And if Bush knows something we don't, and it sure looks like he does, because he's not really trying, then I wouldn't be surprised for my original prediction to come true. Though it seems like a long shot now, it seemed like a long shot before McCain won New Hampshire and South Carolina in 2008. So, I mean, the stranger things have happened. Again, Cruz is almost unelectable. Even a lot of Republicans hate his guts. So get rid of him. Carson is just a complete write-off. Kasich looks literally to me like he's got a Manchurian robot thing going on. He doesn't evoke any emotion from anybody. And Trump is too polarizing. So what are you left with? Rubio, who is just backed by Paul Singer. The Singer has backed both parties. And I know Greg Palast has done great work exposing the Singer family. And Bush. So it's funny that it seems like it will whittle down to that. And I don't see Donald running as a third party. And if he doesn't, then I think we'll know this whole thing was a charade.
Well, it's one hell of a charade, I got to tell you that, Jack. This is like the craziest election I've ever seen. And I've seen quite a few. But, you know, one of my listeners wanted to know what you thought about these super delegates. I mean, I can tell you this. I don't remember anybody asking for a recount just at this point of the election cycle.
Yeah, well, the super delegates can pledge to whoever they want. That's why they're super. If you remember, some of the Clinton super delegates were meeting terrible fates. Stephanie Tubbs had an aneurysm while driving in her car. She was a Clinton superdelegate. And so in the 2008 election, and there were a lot of deaths happening, weird stuff happening. And in the 2008 election, it looked like Team Obama, which we know is Zbigniew Brzezinski and George Soros and Henry Kissinger and some others, took it upon themselves to murder people, I think, like Stephanie Tubbs, to scare the other superdelegates into backing Obama, even when it was against their interest to do so. So this is how it works. The delegate, and this is a Democrat, the Republicans don't have superdelegates for some reason because they have a better control of their party. In fact, Debbie Wasserman Schultz came out the other day and basically explained it like this. The superdelegates are there to make sure that the grassroots doesn't creep up on the Democrat Party, which you can't call them the Democratic Party.
Right.
This is a Democrat party. So the superdelegates are in place to make sure that no outsider with a lot of grassroots support can creep in and get the nomination without their approval.
Yeah, I don't know which one it was, but I did see a quick post on Facebook this morning about one of the superdelegates saying that he's still going to vote for Hillary and it doesn't matter what his state wants. So maybe this is what we need to expose the stolen election at the very beginning instead of waiting for the Supreme Court to steal the election.
Well, okay, so this strategy was used after the 2008 election in the 2012 election. So for those years after the 2008 election, all the Ron Paul people went through this arduous process of becoming delegates to take that back. So the delegates could be the people and not people who are bootlicking the party and getting something in return. And they literally, as you remember, and there's plenty of news about this, there's some great videos on this, whether you liked Ron Paul or not, the Republican Party would literally call the police and shut down these halls where delegates were voting in order to disenfranchise them. So when you actually use the system against itself, you still lose in this case.
Well, it's looking pretty downright ugly, and I could tell you this. I think no matter who gets in, my news shows for the next 4 years will be more comedy than I thought existed when Bush was president. It's embarrassing. It's all embarrassing, Jack. It's embarrassing. There's no other way to look at it. The world is laughing at us at the same time we're marching to World War III in Syria.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, already the world is laughing at us, just the fact that Donald Trump is so popular. Can you imagine if he won the election? Whether you like him or not, or whether he did and he does anything good or not, they're going to look at us and go, you made that guy your president? I mean, a reality star, basically? You made a billionaire reality star your president? I mean, all our, well, we don't have any credibility, but if we did have credibility, it would be gone.
Well, you know, a lot of European countries, I think it was in the UK where they tried to ban Trump from their country and the things they had to say about him. So, I mean, I don't know how much more embarrassing this is going to get. I mean, everybody seems to like what Sanders has to say, but, you know, Hillary's got that smugness about her and rolling out her husband. And I don't know, have you noticed Bill Clinton surely looks and sounds like he's off the deep end?
Yeah, well, he's had a number of life extension procedures, and who knows what that actually did to him. I don't know, but it could only have made him better because he was about as evil as you could possibly be. So, I mean, look, I take these things at face value. I've done a lot of research on all these people, and you know, I wouldn't let them be president of my dog kennel or something, you know, so it's a pretty sad state, and I guess I could say, you know, if Bernie got in, at least there'd be an illusion that people are trying to do the right thing here, I would assume, but you're going to upset a lot of other people as well. So, I mean, again, let's remember it's a dog and pony show. It's bread and circus, and it's fun to talk about, and certainly they've made it entertaining this go around. It's not Bob Dole. But that's about as far as it goes. And the fact that we've even spent, what is it, 20 minutes on this today is it's a little horrifying, but I guess people want to talk about.
Well, yeah, people do want, and they want to know what your opinion is, you know. I mean, when people start writing me questions to ask you, usually some of my other guests, I want those questions from my listeners, but people want to know what you have to say, and unfortunately, you, like so many people, are being kept in a small box and not being able to broadcast real truth. You know, I got to know.
What I said on the Corbett report the other day, and we got a lot of response from that, is let's spend a little less time worrying about what the rest of the world is doing or what they're doing in the District of Semiramis, as I call it, the District of Columbia, what the national election and the mainstream media is talking about, and let's spend more time fighting the issues in our own backyard, which is something we can affect and something we can change. And I know it sounds trite and like I might even have a little hope or left, but that's where you point your gun. And I've said 300 people, let alone 1,000 people, can just change everything. So, I mean, I would love to see somebody younger than me organize something like that, not for their own glorification and to make themselves famous, but to actually be a leader in their own community, which is, you know, few and far between at this point.
Well, I agree. You know, when I talk to some of my friends, you know, locally, you know, I can understand not wanting to vote in a general election because our votes, you know, might as well wipe your ass with them. And I agree with them on that. But I said, but we also have a lot of local propositions where those votes are actually counted. You know, we don't want to lose some of what we have because people decide, well, I'm not going to vote locally. Okay. So, because, you know, in Arizona, I'm sure you know, they voted in medical marijuana. We were one of the first states. And well, this year they've got a proposition up to totally legalize it for recreational use. Well, people need to show up and vote for that. You know, Florida lost it by 2% the last time it was up, and it's up again.
Yeah, that seems like it's a pretty easy fight, too. So I believe that that's a done deal and that it will be federally legalized at some point here, though today is better than tomorrow. Living in a state where marijuana is legal, where you can go simply to the store and buy it, I've already seen the massive benefits, both to the police, to peace in the streets, and even to the tax base. So I've seen how it works, and it does work, and anyone that says it doesn't, you know, obviously has a bias to begin with.
Well, because they bought the program. You know, how many people still believe that stupid old movie, Reefer Madness, you know, and all the dangers? I mean, even scheduling it the same as the worst drugs out there is ridiculous.
Well, it's like Doug Stanhope says, and I believe he was attributing this to this very issue. Only old people vote. All the old people vote. They've got nothing better to do. They are massively courted by the party system. And they'll get rides to the polls. I mean, so I hate to say this, but come on, old people, help us out. Now, I'm going to be one of you. I'm almost AARP here, for God's sakes, you know. So this is why we're seeing the changes all around us, is because some of the earlier pre-baby boomers in America who just couldn't stand to see something like this happen, a bunch of hippies taking over the country, however they put it, that this is a gateway drug, et cetera, that they're either dying off or not voting, or finally they've just given up and they're going along with the people. Maybe because someone in their family has had their lives thrown away for one joint or something stupid like that. So, but come on, old people, let's go.
It's not just old people, okay? Look at how many young people are turning out for Bernie Sanders. Look how, you know, I mean, there's articles almost every day of the millennials. They see what's happening, and they know it all sucks. So I think the young people need to make sure they get out and vote, at least on, you know, propositions, since nothing else seems to matter.
Well, that's what I love about Bernie is, you know, the young people are waking up, and we've talked about this, and I know you're actually doing a show on this, talking about indigo children, as it's called, or children of the new earth. So you need a pressure valve. You need somebody like Bernie who could magnet them in to more of a system, which they're supposedly against. So if you catch my drift, Bernie is right on time to redirect the energies of our consciously aware young people today.
Absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that show. So for people listening, you know, you're probably listening to this at Gary Null's network. That was, if you're not a subscriber, that show, we're kicking that off on the 19th at 5 in the Mountain Time in the afternoon for what we call supernatural kids. Because one thing I learned, Jack, talking to young people, is they feel all alone. They feel like no one listens to them, especially if they're having any kind of spiritual experience. Their parents ignore them, and their schools want to drug them down. So Joe and I decided we want to do a show that's just for them, to give them direction or explanations or teaching or whatever we can do for them. And, I mean, that's totally free because, you know, these young people need somebody. And, you know, my whole generation, we didn't all sell out.
Well, I don't want to refer to Doug Stanhope twice, but go check out his piece on kids today. Just put that in there, kids today, and I'll have to kind of agree with him. But that's just because there isn't enough. I think there's not enough leadership, there's not enough influence, and there isn't enough that strikes them in their soul to shed off, I guess, the bondage, the chains, and the establishment, which is now so ingrained in our children's lives through whatever it is, TV, video games, even the music, the culture, that there almost is no escape from it. So at least in our day, and I hate to be the get-off-my-lawn guy today for the second time this morning, but honestly, you know, we had a lot more opportunities to be free than our children do today. So it's very difficult for them to want to be the one who stands out, to be against the grain and against the flow and against the crowd. And everything in their lives and their culture sucks them right in back into Global Corp. And so we, as parents, really have our work cut out for us.
Oh, yeah. It's very difficult to be young today. And they, don't forget, you know, especially my generation, Jack, because I know I got a few years on you. We had a lot of heroes, and then we saw all our heroes get blown away, you know, one after the other. And kids today, I mean, who are their heroes? You know, who can they look up to? You know, there's no Mickey Mantles in the ball game anymore. And they need somebody to help them. They certainly need leadership. And I think a lot of them, you know, can grow into their leadership, because I've been very fortunate to meet some fabulous young people. I mean, off the charts fabulous, where I'm amazed, Jack. That's how together they are.
Well, I'm feeling very old right now when we're talking about it's for the children.
Well, it has to be for the children. You certainly don't want your son growing up in Hunger Games. I don't want my grandchildren and great-grandchildren growing up in that crap. So we have to do what we have to do. And if, you know, if I can help young people out in any way possible, I'm happy to, because they're my favorite audience. I hate to say it, because they're so open and wide-eyed, and they really want to know. Yeah, and I'm not going to say, you know, 100% of them, but like I said, I want to say at least 50% of them. They just seem to reject the programs here.
Yeah, and that's literally in their DNA. That is the new evolution of people. So what we are talking about, folks, today, Maria and I, both blood and guts, is this is scientifically backed. It is fact-based. That evolution will adapt to survive. And when adapting in the digital age, as we've seen, you're going to have children who are going to adapt to save themselves, even if we as adults don't know the first meaning of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, got to give them credit, man. They picked quite the time to come into this planet. So you got to say, at least you know they're courageous souls, because I don't think I'd want to pick, you know, 2016 to first fall into this reality. Jack, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Jack and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars, roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to Blood and Guts with myself and my co-host, Jack Blood. Jack, now we have another fear porn, as you call it, out there. The Zika virus. Now, everything I'm reading about it surely points to Monsanto, because the Zika virus, they say, has been around for 60 years without anybody having brain damage from it. What's your take on it?
Okay. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it exists?
But you have to remember, I was wrong. I was totally wrong, and I apologize to all the people. Back in, I guess it was 2003, when I said that SARS was basically a phony pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. It killed, what, how many millions of people did that kill? And all the quarantines and the vaccines certainly saved us. So I was wrong about that when I said that was phony. I was wrong about the swine flu would kill us all when I said that was phony and a mask for corporate pig farming in Mexico. It's a cover-up. I was wrong about that, because remember, the swine flu killed, a billion people. So I'm sorry for those of you who I told not to get the vaccine, and it could have saved your life, and I'm sure people blame me for that. So I'm probably wrong about this, too. It is certainly, this is cost-benefit analysis, so that means that the people that launched this program have already designed multiple ways and platforms in which they will benefit, some greater than others. But this is certainly a result of pesticides being used and toxins in the third world and a massive cover-up. So if you look at the numbers of the thousands of reports of Zika virus in Brazil, for example, you will find that only 17 could actually be possibly considered Zika. And of those, it's questionable if any of those are Zika virus. So I'm not going to get into genetically modified mosquitoes, which I believe was a planted story to take us away from the truth of this. And I also don't believe that the Rockefellers, who do have this substance frozen from rhesus monkeys, right? I don't believe that's it, and it's the pandemic that's going to kill us all. So, oh, by the way, I was also wrong about Ebola. Remember, Ebola killed everybody, and I want to thank personally President Obama from, as he mentioned in the last State of the Union, from saving us from Ebola. So good work, Obama and the Center for Disease Creation. I mean, control. So it's fake. I think it's totally fake, and it's being used, number one, to cover up all the global corp toxins that have been dumped into the third world primarily.
Well, that's pretty much where I'm at. I believe, you know, it's a lot of it is the spraying, you know, the spraying of the food. It's the Monsanto products put out by their Japanese subsidiary. But because, you know, even the Brazilian people are saying we've had this virus around for 60 years and none of this these side effects. And they are, you know, even Ronnie at Organic Consumers said it's the pesticide in Monsanto. But, you know, is their goal? To me, their goal is always the same, Jack. It's depopulation. Okay, when I see stories like this, you know, the fear stories, the wars, the poisons in the air, you know, you got to remember these people are still on a depopulation agenda. And they're coming at us from every which way. That's the way I see it.
Sure. And in Catholic countries, I guess in third world countries that are pre-industrial, they have population issues, and this certainly has scared the Henry Kissingers and the like of the world. So the answer to this is usually vaccines, and usually from the vaccine, either you're getting sick or you're getting sterilized, which many people were claiming in the Ebola scare in West Africa. So, I mean, again, it's cost-benefit analysis. It's also interesting that Zika is starting in countries that are pushing back against the IMF, the World Bank, the other MFs, and who I call Global Corp, and who people call the Illuminati or the New World Order. Global Corp is, if you look at it, several wings of one giant global company. And if we look at the systematic whittling down and centralization of every field, of every possible thinkable thing out in the world, from banking to food to water to everything, to travel to energy, it's all whittled down now into just a few companies, and that's why I call them Global Corp, because I've watched them work with each other and help each other, if not to almost be owned by just a few people at the top. So this is something we certainly have to recognize. But I thought it was interesting that this starts in Brazil, who have been at least trying to fight back against the David Rockefeller's free trade area of the Americas and Global Corp. They've basically had some political bloodless coups going on there, as well as in Venezuela, which today is the big story from the Washington Post, the Bilderberg Post. Venezuela facing worst case scenario as Zika outbreak expands, hospitals lack of medications, and quote unquote, as you just mentioned, birth control is where this thing is aimed. So like terrorism, phony Zika only seems to affect the nations opposed to Global Corp.
Very interesting, don't you think? Pretty interesting, although they say it's in, I think, 14 states here in the United States. And again, the answer is always the same, no foreign travel. You remember years ago, many years ago, I said these walls everybody wants to build, making it tougher for people to fly, it's all about locking people down in place. Talk about, you know, settle in place. I think eventually nobody's going to be able to leave their particular spot on Earth unless they happen to be part of the elite.
Right, and forced vaccinations have been bigger than ever, and I think all of the except for Trump. I think all of the candidates are for forced vaccinations and are spreading the disinformation that if we're not vaccinated against things like Zika or Ebola, that we could become carrier monkeys instead of hundredth monkeys, and that we could infect the population. We're ticking time bombs. We're Typhoid Marys out there. And this is the case they're making to scare everybody. And by the way, thanks for plugging my band. My band is Fear Porn, if anybody wants to check us out. And we're playing this Friday here in Seattle and the week after that in Portland, Oregon. And you can find out we got a new record coming out here on April Fool's Day, appropriately enough, that I think really spells it out. So thank you for that promotion. And also, obviously, my Black Irish sarcasm sometimes misses the mark. So, yes, I did call all those pandemics right. No, I didn't do it by myself, but I'm generally one of the first people there. And, yes, the people out there like Alex Jones or whoever who have used this as massive fear porn in order to sell products, et cetera, are never called, and I hate to even, you know, say it now, but they're never called out to accountability. They're never held responsible for what they're reporting in the news that they are spreading like a virus. So, again, congratulations to people like John Rappaport and James Corbett, yourself and others, who have, cut through the bullshit and put this out, because otherwise people are going to react and be afraid of something like Zika. Now, is there a point where a real virus, a real Rockefeller virus or something could be unleashed upon the world? I think once they fully have that thing weaponized, so it only affects people of a certain DNA structure, that is, of course, not the bloodline elites, then absolutely that day will come. Is this the one? I don't believe it is.
I don't either. And it's amazing to me how fast that whole panic story went away. Because if you remember, when they first broke it, it was everywhere. It was everywhere on social media. It was everywhere in the news. And now there's like no mention of it. Very little mention. Because it doesn't work. When they throw something out like SARS, and I remember with SARS, I think Lenny Horowitz was the first one to show that it was man-made and it was bullshit. Then that story went away. It's like they keep trying to put something out there that's going to, you know, put us all into a panic. But since they have helped create the 8-second attention span of most people, people just move on. It's like, yeah, okay, that happened. What's next? You know, that's
well,
that's why I liked all the craziness that was going on with after Scalia died. You know, we don't want Obama to nominate another judge. We should put it off to the next presidency. Everybody's fighting everybody. Everybody's going crazy. And they don't get, these are all just distraction stories once again being thrown at us. Because to me, no one should sit in the same job for 30 years, whether it's the Supreme Court, whether it's Congress, and let alone all the benefits we give them. And I don't want somebody whose thinking is from 30 years ago voting on today's issues.
But I don't remember which of the Republicans said this, but when the founders made you a judge for life, people only lived to 50 years. They didn't envision people living to 95 years old. So can I go back to Leonard Horowitz, please? Because
sure.
He was very helpful to us in 2003. And if you remember when we were running 50,000 watt WALE in Providence, which hit 3 million people in 3 or 4 states, the station you were on, Maria, we were only up the dial one click from the major Clear Channel station there, who was ringing the pandemic bell like you could not believe, especially on the East Coast. We were close to Toronto, which was almost under martial law lockdown under the SARS or bird flu scare. And so we had brought Lenny Horowitz on to talk about that, and it had spilled over to the other station. And their callers were going, hey, well, what about what they said on that station? And their reply was, well, we looked into Leonard Horowitz, and he's a dentist and went to dental school. They forgot the part where he went to Harvard to study the propaganda of pandemics.
Right.
I mean, the guy couldn't have been more of an expert. And look at what happened to him after that. The gang stalking that he endured, I think it literally drove him crazy, Maria. So, I mean, for him to just put that truth out among all the other truths that he did put out, I think it cost him his career, his life, his sanity. And so let's, you know, champion somebody like that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone we see that, and now it's John Rappaport doing a lot of the same work. Let's, you know, lift them up and go and you know, pop a dollar in or do something to make sure that person's going to be around to help us decode all of this, because I don't have, you know, the next 40 hours to put into this.
Right.
This is what this guy did. He studied the numbers in Brazil, not me. So
right.
I'm giving him the credit. But, yeah, Len Horowitz was just an amazing.
Well, he was the same with Well, it was Lenny who was the first one to track that anthrax to Fort Detrick, Maryland. You know, so, I mean, he took a lot of blows, and he took a lot of blows from even the supposed alternative news people. You know,
yeah,
you put your life in your, you know, you take your life in your hands doing what we do. I mean, Dave McGowan's the best example of that. And, you know, to go with what you were just saying about Rappaport, you know, donate a buck or two. Dave, you know, that was Dave's complaint. Everybody complained he didn't have enough bandwidth on his site, this and that. No one ever gave him $1. You know what I mean? And now that he's dead, everybody's clamoring for his work. Everybody wants to discuss it. They want to make him a hero. Well, you know, you got to support these people while they're alive, because it did cost Dave the ultimate price.
Right. And I had a point I wanted to make about Dave McGowan. We're talking about Zika. But real quick, just to give everyone credit, it was Professor Francis Boyle that I thought broke the anthrax case, and certainly Lenny championed that, and his work, which was absolutely off the charts amazing, tracing that anthrax to Ames, Iowa, to be weaponized and back to Fort Detrick. And you know what ended up happening? They admitted that it was an inside job, that it was a guy at Fort Detrick that allegedly smuggled it out. Now, do I believe that guy did that because he immediately committed suicide afterwards? No, but they admitted it. It came from Fort Detrick, and everybody yawned. But I do want to say this about Dave McGowan, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
That when I'm talking about how Zika is a cover-up for all the toxins, you know, his book, Program to Kill, basically talks about how these so-called serial killers are a cover-up for all these kind of elite occult murders, because you have to have these cases closed at some point. And I believe that's the point that Dave was making in his book, which certainly brought him a lot of enemies. And so all those points, I think, kind of synchronize into the pinpoint of don't believe the hype. I think Dave would agree with me on that. May he live forever.
That's for sure, for sure. Anyway, well, I guess we'll have to see, because I was reading that, you know, that Obama's thinking about nominating Loretta Lynch for Scalia's post. Loretta Lynch is no, by any means, friend of the people. All right, she's pro-cop, she's pro-police brutality, no matter what happens. So she, to me, would be a very bad choice.
Well, I want people to go to deadlinelive.info. I may not put a lot of new stuff up, but the database there that I pay for on a yearly basis is incredible. And put in Loretta Lynch into my search engine at my website and find out some of the things we found while investigating her. It would be the absolute, I think maybe one of the worst, and probably too polarizing to get the nomination. I can say this, though, about the Scalia thing. I often didn't agree with what he said. He was against the Fourth Amendment, obviously. You know, my gay friends, my minority friends, et cetera, wouldn't have benefited by him. He was Opus Dei, men in black robes. But it is an interesting timing for him to go. And I'm not saying he was murdered. He was found with a pillow over his head. I'm sure he just put that pillow over his head while he was having a heart attack. Okay, I'm going to give you that. But what's interesting in this is Obama didn't get appoint a Supreme Court justice. And this is a really important part of a presidential legacy. They say three new appointments now for the next president, three new people, which could change the balance of the rule of law, constitutional law in this country, to make it, by the way, it can be worse. And I'm looking at this and knowing that Obama has his legacy that he is all encompassed, focused on this last year. One of his major things to put through is his climate plan, which came from COP21 at the United Nations, which requires tens of trillions of dollars, loss of sovereignty, an endorsement of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and everything that goes with it, a global tax, everything that goes. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm anti-climate change or I'm anti-global warming or any of that. I'm anti because you know that's not the truth.
Right.
But this could actually benefit. So whether or not they bump the guy off, who was pretty much an establishment guy in Scalia, or they're just going to never let a good crisis go to waste, it's certainly something that concerns us. Now, as you mentioned, we won't be talking about anything else for the next 6 months. So that's another dot in the line of cost-benefit analysis. But we'll have to see how it works out. I do think, you know, guys, 79 years old, if I die at 79, can I please have an with a pillow over my head, can I please have an autopsy? That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, listen, there's two sides to every story. And Jack, I don't want to sound like a total retard, but there are days I wake up with my pillow over my head, okay? So I don't know whether I'm tossing or turning in bed or, you know, light filter, or maybe I was dreaming I was eating a giant marshmallow. But Scalia had heart problems. He needed surgery. He didn't test well to have the surgery, which one of my other elderly friends now can't have surgery because she has AFib, even though she needs it. He was at his doctor's Wednesday and Thursday before the trip on Friday. His doctor confirmed, you know, his heart condition, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care how he died. All I know is, yeah, I'm glad he's gone, and I hate to say it. But, you know, 30 years, nobody should serve. The Supreme Court handed us George Bush as president. I'll never get over that. And Citizens United. Okay, so we need a whole new system because the system we have doesn't work. That's obvious.
Okay, well, but look at it this way. You know, the election hasn't happened yet. And I know we're very cynical about it.
Mm.
But if the election means three new Supreme Court justices, then maybe you should elect me as your president, because I'll put in Judge Napolitano, okay?
I'd rather see Judge Judy. Yeah. Let's put in Judge Judy.
All the more, right, all the more, well, sure, why not? All the more reason to write in Jack Blood as president in 2016. So there's a lot at stake here, and
oh, yeah.
I don't know, maybe this will make the election more important than it would have been otherwise, and maybe this will be the reason that Bernie Sanders gets in and will go over the cliff only at 30 miles an hour rather than 60. I don't know.
Well, at least it would give some young people a little more time to try to get their shit together. You never know. Anyway, Jack, thanks so much for joining me today. It's always a relief talking to you. It's like a relief to me because you're like a normal person, what I consider normal. So I don't know how that sits with you. Anyway, good luck with your band, you know, rock and roll. Are you guys doing video?
I feel the same way, by the way. It's always a relief to talk to you and know that your listeners are out there living and breathing. Fear porn, it's all one word, fear porn. If you put that into your Facebook, you'll find we even put a sample or two of some early mixes of our record. One of the songs we have is brilliant. It's called Isis for Beer. And you check that out. The other one we put up is Smith Tower Revenge. It's about gentrification here in Seattle. And the full album will be released. But you can just find us, Fear Porn, all one word, on Facebook. And then if you want to find some of the podcasts that we're doing, because we're still doing that, though I don't do a real show anymore, no commercials, so you'll like that. It's all free. You can go to Radio Free Blood on Facebook, DeadlineLive.info, and if you want to be in our newsletter, many people every day are writing us to gather together for our monthly newsletter. Write me at jackblood@hotmail.com. Any small little donation certainly helps us along the way, but it's all free, so just write us and we'll put you on the good list.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Jack. I'll talk with you soon.
Long live. Stay bold, Maria.
You too. Bye-bye. Jack Blood, check him out. Check out his work. Jack and I have been working together for, 18 years now, okay? And I hope you enjoyed today's show, even though we kind of jumped around a lot, which kind of makes it interesting. Anyway, I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with the real news that you need to know. Don't take any wooden nickels in the meantime.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.